Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello and welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Right out of the gate, don't forget, if you miss a show or a segment, no reason to worry. We podcast everything we do. It's available on SoundCloud and also Apple Podcasts. For SoundCloud, you can just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Thanks to all of you that are checking us out, whether it's live on the radio, the replay later today on the Big X at 3 o'clock, or if it's on the podcast. We appreciate you listening, no matter how you're checking in with us daily for the Hoosier Report. Let's jump right into things today. A lot to get to. Wednesday, always a fun show here in the middle of the week. The Honey Baked Ham guest lineup will have us talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com in segment two. Now that Jeff has got the recruiting out of his system, he was gone basically the entire month of July. He's back. He's been in a lot of the IU football fall camp practices that have been open to the media. We'll obviously talk some football. The quarterback race is really generating a lot of interest. There, to be quite honest, we're in a basketball-heavy state. I think we all know that this is a basketball-heavy show, but the quarterback race is, I think, helping to promote the upcoming football season for Indiana, where to some people, they're very excited about the Hoosiers and optimistic about what could happen on the gridiron this year. Others, hey, football, we'll follow it. We'll see how they do. We'll cheer for them. But ultimately, we're just waiting for the IU basketball season and the college basketball season. Again, the quarterback race up for discussion today with Jeff Rabjohns. We'll also dive into recruiting with Jeff. There are a number of things that we will catch up on along those lines when he joins us later in the program. And then finally, later today, we'll have Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. A lot of local stuff getting ready for week one of high school football here in the state of Indiana and across the river as well. We'll take a look at some of the big games, starting with New Albany and Providence this Friday night, a big rivalry game at Providence to get the season started. So we'll do some of that with Greg when he joins us. That's the guest lineup, a service each day of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Some recruiting stuff to get to today along the IU lines. One of the players that had a tremendous July, name is Caden Shedrick. He is from North Carolina. He added somewhere around 20 high major offers after the first 2 weeks of July when he played outstanding for a travel program, an AAU program, actually an Adidas-sponsored team called Garner Road. But he absolutely saw his stock rise from a number of mid-major schools to all types of high-major schools getting in the mix. He announced yesterday that after considering all this new interest, he has narrowed his choices down to final eight schools. He's got a list of eight. Indiana makes that eight. You've got Florida, IU, Louisville, Xavier, Wake Forest, Wisconsin, Virginia, and Providence, all in the final eight for Caden Shedrick. So again, he's from out east. He's from North Carolina. He's got a good mix of some ACC, Big Ten schools, and some others as well. Will be interesting to see where he chooses, but Indiana obviously in the final eight for him, another prospect that we'll continue to track with the high school season just around the corner. Also, Brandon Newman, Valparaiso native, will play at Montverde Academy this season. We've talked some about losing so much talent from the state to some of the prep schools and high schools that play a national schedule. Newman made a pair of unofficial visits on Monday. He was at Xavier. He was also at Ohio State, getting an opportunity to look at both of those campuses. Indiana, obviously, very involved with him. A number of schools still very involved with him, including Purdue and Ohio State and Xavier and others recruiting him very hard. But nonetheless, Newman taking advantage of some time before his school year starts to see two Ohio campuses in Xavier and Ohio State up close and personal as far as an unofficial goes on Monday. Also yesterday, more locally, Floyd Central senior Kobe Barnes. We had him on a week or so ago when he narrowed his list down. He chose Indiana State yesterday as his destination as to where he'll play college basketball. Really good get for Greg Lansing. Coach Lansing has been on this program before. Great guy that has been in Indiana on and off through his college coaching career and has done a nice job recruiting the state of Indiana, and it would sure look like there are some good days ahead for the Sycamore program. But Barnes had a great summer. He's had some great all-star games, a number of high-scoring performances in some of those games. And Floyd Central, I tell you, when I think back to June and summer league ball and what we saw across the area, there was a lot of buzz about Silver Creek. Obviously, they've got a lot of young players and will be good. They've got returning key players as well. But Floyd Central, I think, will be right in the mix as one of the best teams in the area for the upcoming season, and obviously Kobe Barnes will be a big part of that. So he makes his college decision final, had a list of five that he chose from. Indiana State gets really a big get in the in-state 2019 class, and Kobe getting his recruiting done and over with before the high school season begins here coming up later this fall. So congratulations to him. Also, an IU football note, we had Mike Pegram on. He was at the fall camp practice yesterday, but there was a really neat part of practice later on in the day. Coach Allen with the bullhorn, of course, moving from drill to drill, hitting the siren to end drills, a lot of things going on at these early season practices. He calls the players together in a circle and starts talking about toughness, and he says, and that's why Gavin Everett, just earned a scholarship. Everett is a 6'3" redshirt junior, a defensive lineman for Indiana. He's from Center Grove High School. He played at Western Illinois before transferring to Indiana, and someone that will be in the rotation on the defensive line, but gets a scholarship all based on his effort in some of these early fall camp practices. And Coach Allen taking a moment out of a very busy practice to announce that in front of his teammates. They all started celebrating as they were gathered around each other. But you hear stories like that from time to time, especially in football, when there are a lot more scholarship offers to give and a lot more positions to fill and those sorts of things. But nonetheless, I'm sure a great day for Gavin Everett and his family as he gets a scholarship from Indiana football. Also, I do want to take another look, jumping back to basketball for just a second, at the schedule for the IU basketball. Obviously, we have told you about every game that has been confirmed as it's made its way out to the media, to the public somehow. When you look at the non-conference schedule, we know, I think, all but two games, basically, and we know the dates even. November 6th, Chicago State, that's a home game at Assembly Hall. November 14th, Marquette, a home game, part of the Gavitt Games. November 18th at Arkansas, that's part of the Hardwood Classic. That's the marquee game in that college exempt event. November 20th, also part of the Hardwood Classic. It's a home game for Indiana. They'll play Texas Arlington. Big one on November 27th at Duke, part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. December 8th, a game at Assembly Hall against Louisville. December 15th against Butler in Indianapolis, part of the Crossroads Classic event that will take place at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. December 19th, a home game against Central Arkansas. Back again on December 22nd to play Jacksonville. That's another home game. Other games that we know about as far as non-conference games go, Montana State will be a non-conference game. That obviously will be at home. UC Davis will be part of the Hardwood Classic. That will be a home game as well. So getting pretty close to knowing basically the full non-conference schedule. None of those are new. We've mentioned those. You've probably read about those elsewhere as they've been announced. But it's definitely, when you look at the non-conference part of the schedule, a more beefed up schedule. Only one opponent above the 300 level in the RPI ratings. Just two of the opponents last year had losing records in their respective leagues, their respective conferences. And as far as the Big Ten Conference goes, we know all of the matchups. We've known them now for some time. We just don't know the dates. It's likely that the season will start earlier in December like it did last year with a couple games before the holiday break. But we do know the opponents, as I said, home and road opponents, meaning Indiana will play the following teams at Assembly Hall, and then on the road as well this upcoming conference season are Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Purdue, and Rutgers. So seven teams will play home and away. Indiana will play them, I should say, on the road. Home-only opponents, Nebraska, Ohio State. Hate to see Indiana play Ohio State just one time. Wisconsin as well will be home-only opponents. Road-only opponents, meaning Indiana will only play these guys one time as well. This season, Maryland, Minnesota, and Penn State will all take place on the road. Just kind of a recap, a lot of people talking about the schedule, when it will be available. Are there any non-conference games still to be added? We know a lot, and we definitely know the big games that Indiana will have in their non-conference schedule for the upcoming 2018-19 season. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesday, which means you got to go to Hoopster's for lunch or dinner. Buy three or six traditional or boneless wings, and you'll get three or six free at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That is every Wednesday. It's a great deal. They have great food. It's a great environment. Make sure you stop by Hoopster's for the wing special today for lunch or even later in the day for dinner. Always a fun time. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com here on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday show. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is our guest. And, Jeff, I want to start with some football stuff, then we'll transition to basketball a little bit later in our conversation. But first up, you've been at some of the fall practices recently, I know, and a really neat moment yesterday. I mentioned this in our headlines in segment one today, but Gavin Everett, he's a product of Center Grove, played at Western Illinois before transferring to Indiana, got called over, the entire team there, and on the bullhorn, Coach Allen makes the announcement that he has earned a scholarship because of his effort and toughness for the upcoming season. Pretty cool stuff.
It was a really great moment. Coach Allen didn't tell any of the other players what was coming or anything. And he kind of stops practice. You kind of see the tail end of it there on the video that Indiana put up. But before that, Coach Allen kind of stops practice and, starts talking about how, you know, he loves the effort. He loves the toughness. And those things are important. This is about effort. And this is about heart. And this is about toughness. You got to have toughness. And, you know, I, everybody come in here, make a circle. So they think they're getting ready to either, you know, do the Oklahoma drill, you know, the man in the ring drill, something like this. And he's sitting there going, all right, we're going to start. I want an offensive lineman. So somebody jumps out and think, I want a defensive lineman. And one of the starters kind of jumps out and he's like, no, you, and he points at Everett, you get in here. And they get down and they're squared off, you know, face mask to face mask. And then all of a sudden he grabs Everett, you know, and stands up, you know, this is about heart. This is about toughness. And this is why you earned a scholarship. And it was a really cool moment. And it was a cool moment for him, obviously, to earn the scholarship. And it was a really nice moment for the whole team overall.
Absolutely. Also, the quarterback situation is continuing to be kind of the front-running topic for sure. And I mentioned this earlier today. You know, IU football, there are some diehard fans, obviously, but a lot of people just follow the games casually as fans, as supporters, and are really waiting for basketball season to get here. But with that said, I do think having a quarterback race, constant stories in the newspaper, constant discussion on the radio about who Indiana's starting quarterback for the upcoming season will be, I think in a way it's kind of helped maybe raise some eyebrows and turn a little more attention to Indiana football for the upcoming season than what normally may have.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think it's probably one of the most followed stories, in a fall camp is for any team if there's actually a quarterback battle. It's by far the most visible position on the team, obviously. Most everybody that I've ever talked to, the consensus, it's really hard to win with a bad one. So, it's really important who handles the ball on every snap, all that kind of stuff. But the visibility of the quarterback battle, I think, certainly has added interest. And I think it's a pretty interesting one because having had a chance to go down there and watch some full open practices. And by the way, kudos to Tom Allen, who has open practices several each week to the media. And I mean open them. It's not, okay, you guys can come watch the last 30 minutes or the first 30 minutes. No, practice is open, and I mean open to the media. We go, get there, as long as, media is willing to actually, get up and get there, go watch them, how they warm up, who's vocal early in warm-ups. The drill work, the skill work, the individual stuff with the quarterbacks, the 11-on-11 stuff, everything. So he deserves some credit for, letting us come watch. And it's actually very instructive to watch practice. You just get to see so much. But I think from the quarterback standpoint, I think the two older guys have a little bit of a leg up right now. And that's graduate transfer Brandon Dawkins, and redshirt sophomore Peyton Ramsey. Both guys have started major college games before. I think they have a little bit of a leg up. However, I think freshman Michael Penix has the most upside of all three of them. Penix is what they look like when the guys who become really good, that's what they look like when they walk in the door. About 6'3", maybe a touch over that. Very athletic, moves well, runs well. And he's one of those guys who, when he touches the ball and runs, he looks like he's running the football. He doesn't look like sometimes those quarterbacks can be a little herky-jerky in their movements. And you look at it and you're like, okay, he can move, but that's a quarterback moving. When he touches the ball and runs, looks like a runner. he's very good with making decisions with the ball. The two times that I saw practice this week, the door opened. I did not have a turnover. Tom Allen said all three quarterbacks played in Sunday scrimmage and there were no offensive turnovers. So you know that he didn't have a turnover in the scrimmage, which was live. Guys were getting hit. But I think right now, I think that one of the two older guys likely wins the job to start because I think it's an awful lot to throw a true freshman into the starting position right from the jump. Especially when you consider Michael Penix is from Florida and IU's season opener is in Miami, Florida. I think that's an awful lot to throw on a true freshman's shoulders. So I think the older guys have a chance, have more of a chance. But Brandon Dawkins is a really interesting guy because even if he doesn't win the starting job, you can use him in some Wildcat stuff. That guy really, he has big, thick thighs, almost has legs that look like running back legs in a way. And he's coming out of the Rich Rod offense out in Arizona. He's really got some ability as far as being able to run the ball. I think Peyton Ramsey probably is the best combination of runner and passer. He's really good as far as making the right reads, making the right throws, and he's a mobile quarterback. He doesn't run like Penix or Dawkins, but he is mobile and can run. So I think it's going to be, either Dawkins or Ramsey to start. And, they still have time in this competition. I think we're going to find out a decision before next Saturday because next Saturday is the mock scrimmage or mock game, I guess I should say. It's not really a mock scrimmage. They're going to do more game-like situations. And I get the vibe Tom Allen wants whoever's going to be the starter in the mock game to at least have a few days to prepare like the starting quarterback.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com talking IU football to begin our conversation today. You mentioned about practices being open. I'm curious, at Big Ten schools or in college football in general, is it that rare for practices in their whole being from start to finish? You mentioned you can get there as early as you want for the warm-ups if you wanted to, but is it rare to see this many practices open on a somewhat regular basis during fall camp to media, or are they normally more controlled situations where the media can come in for the last 30 minutes or the last 20 minutes of practice a few times?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty rare. There are some schools that have a practice or two that are open per week. It is much more common for like a segment, you know, first 30 minutes, last 30 minutes to be open for the media. And a lot of times that's more big schools doing that, who have a lot of TV show up just so the TV people can get B-roll, you know, guys out on the field in the practice uniforms moving around, stuff that runs on the screen while a coach or player is talking. It's reasonably, if not totally unheard of, but I would say, you know, it's pretty rare for this many practices to be open. So again, I give Tom Allen credit for that. He's just been phenomenal as far as, you know, we want you guys to come down and see what's going on.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com is our guest. Let's get to some basketball stuff. The non-conference schedule is basically set. We know the big ones, at least, with the exception of maybe a few games. We also know the Big Ten matchups. I went through those again in the first segment today as far as Indiana, who they will play home and away, who they will play home only, who they will play road only. Pretty good schedule shaping up. Most impressively, it's a tougher schedule than even it was a year ago. Indiana really doing some work on the non-conference part of its schedule, which obviously can play a big role in getting in the NCAA tournament at the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, there's a couple things. There was more than a couple. There's a number of things in play with putting together a schedule. One, Archie Miller just, you know, he wants a better schedule. And there's obviously contract language that people have talked about that he gets a bonus if there's only, I think if there's only one team with an RPI from last year over 300 based upon the ESPN RPI formula. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but Archie Miller just wants, you know, that level or better schedule anyway. Part of what he does, and there's a lot of factors in this staff and looking at schedules. One of the things is they really look at NCAA tournament selection and seeding, what criteria are being used. And obviously last year the quadrants came into play, quadrant 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so in looking at this, you know, they had that in mind. And they wanted to make sure that they were doing the best they could to put together a good schedule while also keeping in mind what's your team on the floor look like. You know, having had a chance to talk to Archie at length about some things, you know, if you got a young team, okay, you want to challenge them, but you can't throw them through a meat grinder for 6 weeks and then throw them into the Big Ten. Then they wouldn't survive if they're a young team. If you've got a whole bunch of juniors and seniors up there and you know you're going to the NCAA tournament and the question is, the only real question is, okay, what seed are you going to get? Okay, then, you know, you can really, you know, maybe throw those guys you know, into the fire, you know, starting in early November, because they might be ready for it. And then the other thing is they look at, okay, what are some things we face in the Big Ten? Or maybe what are some things we face in a big non-conference game later that we want to get ready for? Maybe as far as style, or maybe as far as, you know, hey, we're going to run into several athletic bigs. Let's find somebody who's got an athletic big just to make sure that we get a look at it early. Things like that. And I'm using those as general examples. Those are some of the kinds of things that they look at. And I think you know, Bill Komar, who handles a lot of this stuff for the staff, deserves a lot of credit because he did, you know, an awful lot of research on teams, their returning personnel, coaching styles, how they play. You know, a lot of times people just look at a team, look at last year's record, look at last year's RPI, and they spend about 6 seconds looking at words and numbers, and they make a decision on that team. Well, that's one way to look at it. Another way is really study what those teams do.
And, you know, the whole coaching staff, especially Bill Komar, deserve a lot of credit for really looking at what different teams do, who makes sense. And then the other thing, obviously, you know, with the Hardwood Classic, some of those teams are just kind of plugged in, but some of those teams were selected based upon some style things that they do defensively and offensively. So even some of the teams that are names that you go, I don't know anything about them, maybe a Jacksonville, Montana State, or a UC Davis, somebody like that. And there are some little things that kind of like you, when you hear about them, you're like, oh, okay, all right, I get it. That makes some sense now.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with good stuff here about the schedule for the upcoming season on this Wednesday show. I want to get into some recruiting before we let you go as well.
Sure.
Caden Shedrick, he had a huge July. I think he scored like 20-something new Division I scholarship offers after his July performances early in those first two recruiting periods. Indiana, one of the schools that jumped in on him in that month or really stepped it up and offered a scholarship, I should say. He cut his list yesterday to a final eight, Indiana on that list. He's from North Carolina. He's got a wide mix of schools from different parts of, we'll say, middle of the country to the East Coast on his list, including Louisville, including a couple other Big Ten schools, including Xavier, which, again, is very active in recruiting a lot of similar players that Indiana is after as well. What is Indiana's chances here? Even though it's a Final Eight, even though he kept Indiana in with so many different offers popping up over the month of July, is it still pretty early with him as far as building a relationship and seeing exactly where he would fit and how serious his interest in Indiana is?
Yeah, I mean, it's new with almost all the schools outside of a couple because he completely blew up in July. You know, he's one of those guys who, you know, the summer changed his basketball life because he was not a high major recruit prior to July. And all of a sudden, everything just kind of came together for him. You know, he's 6'10", he's athletic, but then all of a sudden he was making shots. He's putting the ball on the deck. He's catching and turning and scoring over both shoulders, the post, and everybody's going, where'd this guy come from? You know, I mean, he looked completely different. And it just happens sometimes for big guys. You know, the old phrase, the light goes on. Well, sometimes all that work, boom, the door opens. Now they can do it. So many schools saw that and then went, whoa, wait, what? Okay, yeah, we can use that. So he's really just getting to know a number of schools that are really in on him. It's almost like a total recruiting reset. So he's got a couple of visits he's planning to take, but he's still trying to figure out unofficial visits, official visits. You know, when does he want to take them? Does he want to watch some of these teams play, you know, for a month or two during the season before making a decision? He really is just sort of, even though it's August and people who, you know, have been recruited at a high level for a long time, they're now starting to get to the later stages. Shedrick's recruitment has been at a high level for basically about 4 weeks. So this thing, you know, it could wrap up in November. This thing could go for a while because it just kind of like, it just really kicked into the gear it's in now. And he and his family and everybody, I mean, there are some coaches that, you know, he's still having to learn the names of which assistant coaches are from which school, you know. He made a comment to somebody the other day, and somebody was like, no, that coach is with such and such school. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I get so many texts, I get so many calls now, I get it confused. So, and this thing could go, like I said, it could be wrapped up by November, but it's so new it could go for a while.
Trace Jackson Davis, Center Grove, Keon Brooks, Laporte LaLamere, big game December 8th. I mentioned this yesterday. I wish the high school season was a little closer than what it was. That is going to be a fun game, and I'm sure that full day of basketball when that schedule is prepared will be a really good showcase for high school basketball in our state. But that's going to be a big one, and I'm just ready for the season to be here. I love football, but would be have no problem skipping over it if we could get the round ball going a little quicker.
Yeah, and don't forget the five-star center Isaiah Stewart.
Yes.
Also plays for LaLamere. And those of you who are hardcore, write this name down, boys and girls.
you're going to think I'm crazy. Write the name down. Incoming high school freshman, Kamari Land, guard. He will be up at Lalamere. He is originally from Indianapolis. Had a chance to watch him play quite a bit over the spring and the summer. That's what they look like entering high school, and they have a chance to be special. Now, I don't know that he's going to get a chance to start right out of the gate at Lalamere because they have lots of talent, big-time talent, five-star guys like Keon Brooks, five-star guys like Isaiah Stewart. But Kamari Lance is somebody that's a name you're going to hear over the next 4 years in the state of Indiana, barring injury or, you know, the unforeseen.
Jeff, I don't know if I've ever can recall a player that young leaving their public school. I guess in his case, he was a middle school student entering high school, but and he made the move in the summer in the off season. But I don't know if I can ever remember a player that young as a freshman going to one of these national schedule level high schools like Montverde or like LaPorte Lalamere. Is that a little bit uncommon? I mean, they must really feel like he has some tools and ability to be a big time prospect coming up here very soon.
I would say it's rare. Can I think of a name of somebody who's done it off the top of my head? I can't. But I would say rare is a good word. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. If I can come up with anybody, I can't. I have to think it's happened. I just can't think of a name. They do think that he really has a chance to be special. And I certainly agree with that. And I'm not a big fan of watching guys all that much in middle school. I think that's a little too early. And I'm a big fan of, you know, let kids be kids as long as possible. But Kamari did play up, meaning he played on high school teams in AAU. So you get a chance to see him play. And that, there's just, you know, he's got every physical tool you'd want a guard to have the chance to become special. Now, it's got to happen. He's got to add the skill and all that. But when you watch him play, you're like, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, if that kid was going into his junior year of high school, people would be going, oh, yeah. He's going into his freshman year. And also with Lalamere, there's some ties to the family. Obviously, Jalen Coleman Lands, who is Kamari's cousin, he played up at Lalamere. Jalen Coleman Lands certainly played his first 2 years at Cathedral in Indianapolis and then went up to Lalamere. And Kamari just decided to go ahead and go up to Lalamere to start high school. So it'll be interesting. But he's, you know, like I said, because they're so talented, he's not going to go drop 20 a game. That's not going to happen. And he might not even start. And I'm sure some people will say, man, you know, what's the big deal if kid can't even start in high school? Well, just wait a couple years. Wait a couple years. The potential there is at a very, very high level.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Final question. This doesn't have anything to do with Indiana, but you are so familiar with the landscape of basketball in our state, even in southern Indiana, that you can, I'm sure, have good comments on this. Kobe Barnes, Floyd Central, will be a real key player in our part of the state for the upcoming season. Indiana All-Star candidate, has had a big July playing with Indiana Elite to close out his travel ball career, getting ready for his final year of school, committed yesterday to Indiana State. Big pickup, I think, for Indiana State. Not only is it an in-state recruit, but it's someone that had interest from a really solid group of mid-major schools. Your thoughts on Kobe Barnes to Indiana State, how he'll fit in there, and just generally his commitment there and what it means for Coach Lansing?
I thought it was a really big get for Coach Lansing because the player himself can play. He can put points on the board. And the other thing is, you know, he's from, you know, southern Indiana. So to get somebody who can help you who is from the area, I think that's kind of a double win in a way. I really like Kobe's game for that level of basketball. Had a chance to watch him. I think the first time I saw him went down to Floyd Central and watched him in an open gym after his freshman year of high school. And I got a chance to obviously watch him develop. Saw him a lot with Indiana Elite over the spring and the summer. He's about 6'5", kind of a small forward slash big wing in the valley type of player, if you will. He really improved his ability to create shots and score off the bounce. His athleticism improved. The way he scored improved. He could put it on the deck and kind of like go left or right.
And his ability to make threes not only improved, but the speed catch to release on some of the catch and shoot threes, that really got better. His athleticism improved. He's not a big time athlete. He's not going to go, you know, run and dunk you, you know, for 40 minutes. But the core of his body improved. His ability to kind of get left, get right, that improved. When your core strengthens, it really helps be able to increase the quickness of your release on the three. I really thought he jumped out going back to Memorial Day weekend at the Adidas Gauntlet event up in Chicago. He had a really good 3 days in a row up there, had a couple games in a row of 20-plus points, playing against some really good competition. So to me, that was sort of like the moment where you go, okay, he's sort of, you know, we don't have to discuss, you know, is Kobe, because there are some people who are like, is he a Missouri Valley level kid? And I was like, I think so, because I've seen a lot of little things. But that weekend up in Chicago, I think he just sort of kind of slammed the door shut on those questions. So I think he's a really good get. He's an offensive-oriented guy. You know, when you give him the ball, you're telling him, you know, try to go get his points. That's what he's wired to do. You know, he's been coached really well by Todd Sturgeon there at Floyd Central. Obviously, Coach Sturgeon, you know, was a former college coach at UIndy, you know, had them up to number one in Division II a number of years ago. So Sturgeon really knows how to help players develop. And I think Kobe Barnes has definitely benefited from that. But I really think that's a very nice get for Greg Lansing at Indiana State.
I said it was my last, and good stuff, and I agree with you on all that. I said it was my last question. If I don't ask you this Romeo Langford question, I'm going to have some people upset. I've had multiple tweets and a couple text messages saying, ask Jeff Rabjohns to clarify more on the cast that Romeo is wearing. And I mentioned it a couple days ago after I talked with you and kind of got a little insight there. But on that, it truly seems to be a precautionary measure. We know it's a reoccurring thing where he's had some soreness in that wrist, and this is really the opportunity, if there's going to be one, for him to have some downtime to rest that thing. And I guess when you put a cast on it, not a brace or a sleeve or something that can be taken off, he really has to rest it. He can't, you know, slide it off and go take some shots when nobody's looking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day, is Romeo's wrist almost the same as his Coverdale's ankle from back in 2002? So I was like, oh my goodness, people, let's calm down here. My soul. Not only is this precautionary, it was planned. His wrist is fine. It's just, there's times when it is consistently sore. Because as everybody down there, and you well know, you know, Romeo's Romeo, basketball's important, and he wants to work on it. And when a guy says, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and, you know, then I'm going to go make 500 threes, and then I'm going to go make 500 threes off the dribble, and then I'm going to go do this, you know, you're working it. And there's nothing like it's wrong with it structurally or that needed repaired. The reason they planned this, and Romeo himself, you know, wanted to go through the summer program. But what you have is after the summer program, you have a gap of several weeks where the summer, basically summer school is over. You have a gap. Then players come back. And then there's a little bit of time, you know, moving in and all that kind of stuff where, you know, you got about another week gap. So you've got a time frame there where the players really, you know, are supposed to be, you know, getting away from basketball, rest, mental rest, all that kind of stuff, because the season is long, and a lot of coaches who have done really well in college basketball will tell you, leave your guys alone after your summer program for a good couple of weeks because they need the mental break from you and from basketball. They need to go hang with their friends, with their girl, whatever they do, go to the water park. You have this time frame. So what Indiana wanted to do, and, you know, did this, you know, in consultation with Romeo and his family, was like, okay, when the summer program's over, let's immobilize the wrist. That way it gets maximum rest. You're not even using it to eat with. You're not even using it, you know, to get up 500 shots just because you feel like it, you know. So that's why they did that. So there's nothing, like, structurally wrong with the wrist.
wrist. There's no, concern. He didn't do anything, break it or anything like that. And the initial issue dates back to the ESPN game. I'm not recalling the date exactly, but during the season against Princeton. As you remember, he had that fall. I'm pretty sure I'm remembering the right game. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, mid-January, Princeton, Ohio. Yep, on ESPN.
Yeah, yeah, he had the fall and sprained the wrist backwards. So that's what this is all related to. So, again, it was, he went through the summer program. He was fine. There was no new injury. This was not only precautionary measure. I don't even know if I'd call it precautionary. I would say it's planned for rest. They're not worried about precaution means something else might happen. That's not really it. This was a planned thing. It mobilized it to get a maximum rest to really allow all those, ligaments and everything that were stretched out and everything to really rejuvenate and heal as much as possible. Because like you said, you made the correct point. Once practice starts, maybe you can get him a day here or there, but it's going to be hard to immobilize that thing for a stretch. So they took advantage of the time between the end of the summer program and the start of fall workouts to immobilize the wrist and let it rest.
Jeff Rabjohn, Pegs.com. Great stuff on a number of topics, IU football, the basketball schedule that we know about for the upcoming season, recruiting, Romeo, and more. Jeff, as always, thanks for the extended chat. We'll do it again next week.
Always enjoy it, my friend. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Absolutely. We'll head to a quick commercial break. We'll come back with News and Tribune sports editor Greg Mengelt. We're getting ready for week one of high school football in the state of Indiana. Some big games to start this high school football season. We'll talk New Albany, Providence, and more coming up next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment. Wrap things up with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg, you've kind of bragged now the last couple times that we've talked that it was a slower time period for things here in Southern Indiana. Well, guess what? Friday Night Lights begins this Friday. Games will be hopping all across the state, and of course we'll be focused on the same games you will, the ones right here in Clark and Floyd counties. But it will be a very, very busy evening for you guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it bragging. I'd much rather be busy than bored. But yeah, we're very excited that football season's back. And as you said right before the break, I'm not sure this is always the case, but some really fascinating games going into week one. Because, as we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, some teams that you're not sure they're going to be good, but there is potential for them to be pretty good. As I've been saying all year, the only team I'm certain is going to be good is Providence. There's no doubt that Providence is going to be good. They won the sectional last year, and I have every key part back. So without some major injuries, Providence is going to have a great season. With that said, they could definitely be 0-3, 1-4. They could be 1-4 and still be a good team because that's how tough their schedule is to start. And New Albany, I think, could be really good. I think that could be the second best team in the Hoosier Hills Conference. Now that Steve Cooley's in his second season, you've got experience at quarterback. I think they probably lost a little at running back, but they've got the best receiver probably in the southern half of the state in Devin Gummer. So really interesting game there and Charlestown. And Floyd Central's probably not going to win. They lost a ton from last year, and they play Male. But it'll be interesting to see what they have as well. They have a lot of good young players, new coach. So one of the most fascinating seasons going in that I can think of where we could have a bunch of bad teams, but we could also have – they could also be some pretty good teams. Silver Creek's another one. Charlestown, you're just not quite sure, but – there's potential there for them to be pretty good.
Absolutely. Greg Mingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is our guest, and they've had a lot of preseason coverage. You can read it at newsandtribune.com/sports. But I have kind of struggled getting back to the New Albany-Providence game on what I think will happen. At first, I thought, well, New Albany's the bigger school. They returned some key talent. They've had their way with Providence the last couple seasons, I think. Mm-hmm. They should be able to win that game. And then the more and more that I hear about Providence, both from their coach and others that follow football in the area like yourself, I tend to think, well, maybe that game will be a lot closer than what I thought it would. And now I wonder who will win the game. So I think it could be a tremendous game to start the season. And I've said this a couple times, and I'm sure that sometimes people say, why do you repeat yourself? But when I have a point or something that I'm passionate about, I do bring it up multiple times. The best thing about that New Albany-Providence game, no matter who wins, no matter where it's at, is the crowd and the students. And I know there's a bitter rivalry there to some. But I wish that we could see similar crowds, not just for the rivalry games in football, but on a more consistent basis, because it's $5. You know, it's high school football. It's your communities. It's something local and close and fun to do. But they sure pack them in for that first game of the season. And I think it will be a tremendous game. I have no idea at this point which way I think it'll go. And a quick plug that we'll have both coaches, Cooley and Dennison, with us Friday on the Hoosier Report. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think New Albany's going to have the better offense, and Providence may have the better defense. My guess, and this is, I'm going to be making all my predictions in the paper tomorrow, is that New Albany's defense is going to be good enough to win that game. But as you said, it kind of has gotten into the who was going to win this game zone. And about the crowd sizes, I tell you, if they win, the crowds will come. Look at Charlestown and Silver Creek. Those crowds have started to come when they've been good. But yeah, it would be nice if it was a little more consistent like basketball. But we're to the point now where community support kind of depends on how the team's doing, which is, you know, it's the same way in the NBA and college football and most parts of the country. So it's just kind of a fact of life. But the truth is, football around here hasn't been very good, with few exceptions. Especially Jeff and New Albany, with Gleasing at Jeff and Cooley at New Albany, if they can put together teams to compete with Columbus East, and there's no reason that they can't, with the size of the school, the type of athletes, that they've had come through the school, if they can get those people out, get them out to stay, there's no reason they can't compete with Columbus East. So if they can build their programs up, the people will come. I'm pretty sure of that. People in Indiana still love football. I know basketball is king, but everybody in this country loves football.
I'm going to put you on the spot. New Albany Providence prediction from Greg Mingelt.
Well, it'll be in the paper tomorrow, but I'm going to say New Albany 34.
Oh, he's going to give us a score and everything. Yeah, okay.
34-23.
All right. You heard it from Greg Mingelt. Other big games in week one. I really like Silver Creek and Charlestown. It's kind of a rivalry as well. Silver Creek, interesting to see how they bounce back with what they've lost, but they also have lots returning. Jason Hawkins always does a solid job at Charlestown. That will be another good one to pay attention to on Friday night.
Yeah, the question is, how much is Silver Creek going to miss Jacob Garrett? And the answer is probably a lot. I think Charlestown's going to be probably the surprise, considering they won 4 games last year. I think they'll be right up there in the Mid-Southern Conference with Silver Creek, Brownstown, maybe North Harrison, Salem. Pretty good conference this year. But whoever wins this game, I think, has a shot to win the conference. That's how good I think both these teams could be. Silver Creek's got some holes that they're going to have to fill from last year's really good team. They were really good. Lost a couple of games by less than a touchdown. Lost in the sectional championship to the eventual state champions. And Charlestown wasn't very good, but they have everybody back with some experience. A lot of athleticism. I think they may be more athletic than Silver Creek. I'm not certain of that, but could be. I think Silver Creek will probably win that game. But I wouldn't be surprised if Charlestown was right there with them. So, of course, Jeffersonville games are always big. So they go down to Kentucky, long trip again. It's gonna be tough for Coach Gleason to get many wins this year. But as we've seen, all he does is build programs and win. He takes over programs that are struggling, turns them into winners every time, 3 for 3.
Absolutely. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, our guest. Final thoughts here. Kobe Barnes to Indiana State. You obviously have followed Kobe's career as close as anyone. Jeff Rabjohns in the last segment had great marks about the commitment and the fit for Kobe at Indiana State. And everybody that I'm seeing, both the people up in Terre Haute and the people locally that know Kobe and have followed Kobe, think it really is a tremendous fit for his basketball future.
Yeah, I haven't seen him play this summer, but, man, the buzz around what he's done and the numbers. The Indiana All-Stars looked like the best junior in the state during the Indiana All-Star game.
Sure did.
You know, the Battle of the Bridges looked unstoppable. So a lot of buzz around his summer. Yeah, I think that's a, you know, and not only that, but it's good for Indiana State to be getting in-state kids.
Greg Mengelt, sports editor. Of course, you can read their coverage at newsandtribune.com/sports and at NewsTrib scores on Twitter. That will wrap up our Wednesday show. Thank you, Greg, and we'll do this again next week. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. I'll return with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. for the Hoosier Report. Make sure you join me. Until then, have a great day.